Thank you, Matt. Matt drove in. What time did you leave Kansas City last night?
12:30.
12:30 last night. Drove most of the night and got here and slept 2 hours
and
out in the parking lot. And no,
yeah.
Not out in the parking lot. Although we've had bass players do that before back in the day. Music is a language. And it's like any language. If you're learning a foreign language, the more you study it, the more fluent you become in it. And obviously, Matt's very fluent in that language. But I will tell you that God speaks a certain language, too. It's a spiritual language. And it is a language that you must introduce yourself to. And it'd be like kind of a beginning musician like me. When you start learning the spiritual language, God works with you to bring you into His circle of blessing. And it would be similar to having Matt stand by me, which he does, and yells out the proper chords and lets me know when I'm playing the wrong chords and what are you playing that. But you have a guide, and luckily he's very patient because he's used to playing with people who really understand the language of music. So he puts up with all of us, which we're grateful for. I want to review something that I spoke about last time I was here, because we're talking about being able to walk into the God's circle of blessing. And that's a little confusing with people. But I want to review this. Two really important things that I mentioned last time was, number one, hey, let's go ahead and put the target up, because I'm going to kind of point to that. Number one is, you are never outside of God's circle of grace and love. It would be like having a very patient music teacher when you're learning how to play and you don't know anything. And Matt teaches music too. He teaches piano to kids. And when they first come in, they don't know anything. And luckily, Matt is a very patient person. So no matter what this student does, Matt works with him. And God, obviously, is much more patient than Matt, I'm assuming.
Amen.
Amen. So, where you come today, and we have all got issues, and I have plenty of them. But the cool thing about God is, you're never outside of God's circle of grace and love. No matter what, no matter how many wrong turns you've done, no matter how far you've gone in the wrong direction, you are never outside of God's grace and love, and we must never forget that. However, it is possible to be outside of His circle of blessing. And last week, I wanted to, that's confusing to some people when they first hear that. They think, well, wait a minute, if God loves me, why wouldn't He bless me? He will and He wants to. But the example in the Bible is the prodigal son. The dad loved the son, even though he went off and squandered all his money. Dad never stopped loving him, but it took the son the initiative to turn around and start heading back towards the center of where father was. And what I mentioned last time I was here is, I said the greatest thing in that story to me is, it says, if you read the story of the prodigal son, it says, and when yet he was still a long way off from home, the father ran out to meet him and started blessing him. The son chose to leave the circle of blessing. We do this all the time. Silly, our thoughts, what we do, what we say, we get angry, we get frustrated. We get depressed, and it's possible to lose the circle of blessing. The center, the bullseye, is where God's perfect will is. And to my knowledge, there's only been three people that have been in dead center. It was in Adam and Eve before the fall, because they were created, and they were completely in tune with God spiritually. They spoke with Him, and of course, Jesus. Do you know of anybody else? So it's okay. None of us are going to make it to the center unless something miraculous happens between now and the time we die. But the key to the parable of the prodigal son is that we are, through our life, moving towards the bullseye, which means moving towards God. And the greatest thing about God is, we don't have to get that close to Him, and the blessings can start flowing. But we do have to make the effort of be moving toward the target. And sometimes we're not. life's journey, I think sometimes we're going the wrong way and sometimes we're going the right way. There's three words you'll hear in religious language. One is justified, and that's when you give your life to Jesus Christ. He immediately justifies you. He says, hey, you're in the circle. You're part of the family now. The second one is sanctified. And the process of moving toward the target, toward God, which takes our whole life, is sanctification. It's a process. None of us are completely sanctified. It is the process of getting closer and closer to God. And there's times when we're moving the wrong way, and there's times we're out. And then finally, when we die, thanks to Jesus Christ, we are glorified someday, which we will be put into the circle with God. So these are all important concepts to know when we're talking about this circle of blessing. Today, I am going to be speaking on a great, great chapter in the New Testament with a story that has to do about us learning to speak and hear God's language. And like I've said many times before, God, in all these stories that He placed in men's heart when they wrote this in the Bible, these stories were written to you, about you, and for you. And you can find yourself in all these stories, but when you read this book, the only way this book comes alive is if God is placing in you the ability to hear His language, that spiritual language. And it's not complicated, it's just all we have to do is decide, hey, I want to be part of this, I'm going to give this a try, I'm going to start reading my Bible, and I call it the shortcut to getting closer and moving toward the target. Church is wonderful. Church is a tool. Pastors can be good. We're a tool. But the shortcut to getting to the target, to be in God's circle of blessing where that peace comes and where the joy comes, is to go to God and let Him speak directly to you, and He will teach you His language as you open your heart and say, I really want to understand this. And from here on out, I'm going to stress this over and over, that the quickest way for you to continue your sanctification process, getting closer to God, is to go to the book and read it yourself and let God speak directly to you. But the thing you're going to find out is when you read these stories, it fascinates me, is that the story, it has many layers. It's like an onion. You read the story, the physical happenings. This is, hey, this guy, this is what they did. But behind the scenes, there's always the spiritual story going on. So let's go to, this is Book of John, 9th chapter. And we're going to work our way through this. I'm going to read this chapter, but I'm going to give you a little input on it. It says, now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. We are all blind from birth spiritually. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because back then, whenever there was something wrong, whether it be leprosy or whatever, a lot of people thought, it was taught that there must be sin or you wouldn't be suffering these consequences. However, Jesus answered him and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work, and as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when He had said these things, He spat on the ground and made clay with His saliva, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Interesting. This one little paragraph, very interesting, because it's got the message that is told over and over and over in the New Testament. This man who was blind first had to hear Jesus' words. Couldn't see. He heard His words. We get the Word of God out of this book. The second thing that took place is Jesus did this thing with His spit and mud and put in His eye, but then He told this man to do something. You must go to this place in Siloam and wash in this fountain, in this pool, And then he received his circle. He entered the circle of blessing and received his sight. The message is there. We must hear the word, but then we must act on the word according to what God is telling us to do in our life. And it may not make sense. I'm sure that the interesting about this was, is this guy, you know, he made this mud out of spit and put in the guy's eyes. You know, that sounds crazy to me. Now, I did a little studying on it, and evidently, actually, they, I don't know how they figure this out. Somebody might have made it. It was on the internet. It has to be true. That supposedly they actually did this with spit to fix eye infection. I don't know. Sounds crazy, though. It sounds crazy. It sounds ludicrous. Yet the man followed Jesus' direction. And when he did what Jesus said, the miracle came. That's important to know. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Because this man always sat outside the temple begging for coins and money. And some said, "Well, this is he." And others said, "He is like him." And finally, the man himself said, "I am he." Therefore, they said to him, "Well, how were your eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went, I did what he said, and I received my sight." I did what he said, and then I received. And then he said to him, "Well, where is this man, or where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." They brought him, who formerly was blind, to the Pharisees next. They took him to the church. Now it was Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again, "Well, how had he received his sight?" And this man who was once blind said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed, and now I see." So therefore some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." They're talking about Jesus. Obviously Jesus can't be from God. Today's the Sabbath. He can't be doing these things. And others said, "Well, how can a man who is a sinner do such things?" There's people standing up for Jesus. They're starting to hear the spiritual voice. And then there was a division among them. And they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes." And the man who was blind said, "Well, he's a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. So now they go to the man's parents. They still can't figure this out. And they asked him, they're saying, "Is your son, who you say was born blind, is this your son? And how then now does he see?" And his parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son. We know that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He's of age, ask him. He will speak for himself." And his parents said these things, important, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that this man was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue, kicked out of church for believing in Jesus. So therefore his parents, who were afraid, said, "He's of age, ask him." The parents are saying, "Look, this guy, he's an adult." So they called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." And the man answered and said, "Well, whether he's a sinner or not, that I do not know. But one thing I know. And though I was blind, now I see." And then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" That was a great thing to tell him. Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from." And the blind man answered and said to them, "Well, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. And since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened their eyes of who was born blind. So if this man is not from God, he could do nothing." This is the blind man speaking to the Pharisees. And they answered to him, they said, "You were completely born in sins and you are teaching us." And they cast him out of the temple. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Well, who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" Here's Jesus being patient, the patient music teacher. This man who just received a miracle, he's trying to figure it out. But man, he's all ears. He's all in. He's had something amazing happen. And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin." I'm going to explain this in a minute. "But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains." What that is saying is the Pharisees already knew the truth, except their truth wasn't the truth. What is that story about? That story is about each and every one of us wanting to enter God's circle of spiritual blessing so we can hear his voice. We were all born blind. And God, I do believe, is always tapping on our shoulder, those of us that are trying to move towards the circle of grace to get closer to God. The key is listening to what he says for you and I to do. And the only way you're going to know that is to read this book daily. That's my mantra. I know it will change your life. Coming to church is great. But God wants to speak to you individually so that your eyes may be opened and that you may see. I'm going to read a couple things. This is from the Old Testament. How patient God is. When you first start reading the Old Testament, you think, man, God's vindictive. Vindictive. But listen to these things. This is from Hosea. Do I have those up there, Lane? "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Return. For you have submitted or stumbled because of your iniquity." In Zechariah, "Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you." And in Job, "If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove unrighteousness." 32 times I counted in the Old Testament, God saying to his people, the nation of Israel, "Return to me." He's wanting them to go back towards the center of that target. He says, this is before the prodigal son story, but that's what this is all about. God is patient with us. He wants us to return to him so we can enter his circle of blessing. In Acts, here we have, again, God wanting to demonstrate over and over in his stories. We have Saul of Tarsus persecuting the Christians. And then one day on his road to Damascus, Jesus blinds him with a light. It was a metaphor of what Paul was already experiencing in his life. He was spiritually blind. He was going after Christians and putting them in jail and having them crucified and tortured. But Saul loses his sight and then he begins to hear. God took something away. He showed him physically that he was spiritually blind. And it wasn't until he did what Jesus said, "You must go to the temple and find this man named Ananias, and he will pray over you and your eyes will be opened." So Saul of Tarsus, who becomes Paul, does that. Again, the miracle comes. Spiritual blindness keeps us from seeing the path to God's blessing. There's other stories in the New Testament. They're all about awakening us spiritually. If you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, so many times that's preached on, heaven and hell, heaven and hell. And that's obviously what's what it looks like. But in that story, the rich man was blind to the need of Lazarus, who was at his gate every day seeking food, seeking healing. The rich man was blind, and unfortunately in that story, the rich man, his eyes were never open. He was stepping over Lazarus every day until one day he died. And then God said, "Hey, you've had it. Your whole life was a blessing. Lazarus suffered, and you had it within your ability That's reading behind the scenes to take care of this. When our Christian eyes are opened, when our spiritual eyes are opened, we will see this world differently. We will enter this world with a whole different foundation and perspective of what's important. And I'm going to tell you that all of us here will struggle on staying on the path of trying to get to the bullseye. It's human nature. So as we finish this up, I'm going to call everybody up here so we can wrap this up. But I want you all to know how much and how forgiving God is. I've said this many times, but I know God's forgiving. But by the grace of God that I stand before you and even given this small bit of spiritual awakening that I can stand before you and preach these sermons. I've gone the wrong way. But something kept pulling me back. And it wasn't until I read these words and began reading them myself that the windows of heaven, the blessings of heaven, the peace of God has come upon me. And can you still lose your peace? Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't care where you're at on moving towards that target. Your peace can be taken away. Those of you who read my blog know that about a week ago I had my peace taken away because I did something very stupid. Had something to do financially. If you really want to know the story, come. I'm not going to get into it here. But I know what it's like to lose the peace of God. And I've been walking in the peace of God for years. And man, when it's taken away, I get it. You can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't, it's just, so what I did what didn't make sense. It would be so easy to keep rehearsing over and over and over what we did wrong, how I did it, how did I get into this, why did I do this. Instead, I went to the book of Psalms and began reading and forced myself to read the book of Psalms. I didn't want to read. I was upset, I was angry, I was frustrated. But I knew that the Word of God, hearing God's Word, just like the blind man heard God's Word, responded to God's Word, and the blessings came. And I read the Bible for about a half an hour in a prayer, in a struggling mode, in a fighting mode. I'm making myself do it, and the blessing came. The peace was restored. I believe in this book, I believe in Jesus, or I wouldn't be standing here. It can change your life. It can change your grandkids' life. It can change your children's life. Prayer, read the Bible, and watch what happens. Amen. May all God's blessing be on each and every one of you. God, I ask you right now, in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, you know all the woes here. You know the situations. You know the hearts. You know the brokenness. You know all the struggles. Help each and every one of us here return to you so that we may enter your circle of blessing and that we may be a positive spiritual force in all those who need us. The people that are hurting, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our spouses, help us to understand and put the power of these words into motion so that lives can be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.